Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. The reading is taken from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9, and the talk is given by Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and is entitled Backpack Sunday. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
Good morning. As Ed mentioned, the reading is from Joshua 1, verses 1 to 9. And today I'm reading from the Living Bible. After the death of Moses, the Lord's disciple, God spoke to Moses' assistant, whose name was Joshua, the son of Nun, and said to him, "Now that my disciple is dead, you are the new leader of Israel. Lead my people across the Jordan River into the promised land. I say to you what I said to Moses. Wherever you go will be part of the land of Israel. All the way from the Negev Desert in the south to the Lebanon Mountains in the north, and from the Mediterranean Sea in the west to the Euphrates River in the east, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to oppose you as long as you live, for I will be with you, just as I was with Moses. I will not abandon you or fail to help you. Be strong and brave, for you will be a successful leader of my people, and they shall conquer all the land I promised to their ancestors. You need only to be strong and courageous and to obey to the letter every law Moses gave you. For if you are careful to obey every one of them, you will be successful in everything you do. Constantly remind the people about these laws, and you yourself must think about them every day and every night, so that you will be sure to obey all of them, for only then will you succeed. Yes, be bold and strong, banish fear and doubt, for remember, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. I pray that in this service, through unpacking this passage, through our worship, through the prayers, through the liturgy, there will be something of your life and truth that sinks in our hearts and mind, leading to walk a little bit more closer to you and with you. Amen. So the main theme, I mean, this passage could be taken in many different ways, but I want to concentrate on those few words. Be strong and courageous. And in particular, with the theme of backpack and going back to school or being in transition. And what does it mean to be strong and courageous when things are changing, moving on, when there are times of transitions in our lives? And I wanted to start with two little stories, one of my sabbatical, and there will be more and more stories of my sabbatical. It's not going to be my walk to the Camino, that's going to be starting next week. I'm going to share a little bit of that. But this is something I do during my sabbatical that needed some strength, a little bit of courage, and it's a sprint triathlon. So if you kind of see, that's me, yes, it's me, there on the on your left side too, yes, on my bike, in that transition, that's the middle, and then running. So if you're new to the idea of triathlons, triathlon three, so you have three disciplines, you start with swimming, and then it leads to cycling, and it finishes with running. Now, I only do sprints because that's kind of half the distance of a normal triathlon. So usually it's about 750 meters swimming, and that was in a swimming pool, which was nice. About 20 kilometers cycling and then 5 kilometers running. And then sometimes the distance a bit less in one discipline, a bit more. I did it on my own, but you can also do a triathlon with three people, each then specializing in their own category. So you choose and you pick up the best swimmer, and you choose and you pick up the best cyclist, and you choose and you pick up the best runner. And then there is this very important area of what is called the transition. That's where you stop your bit and you entrust the next to the person who's going to take it further to complete the race. And if you do it that way, usually you will be better than one who does it on its own, because you take the best of the three. Made me also think of another transition and the need to, in a sense, one part letting go and handing over to the next generation. And that's when we do our leaver service, or the last year of primary school. We have a great celebration here in the church with the teachers. Some of them have seen children in their primary school years all through the primary school, and it's quite emotional because it's a time for them to celebrate all that they've achieved, but also to kind of let go and entrust this group of young people into a new school and into a new group of teachers who are going to take them further along the way. And our reading is about that, about a transition from what Moses did with Israel and what now Joshua is called to do. For 40 years, Moses had led Israel from being slaves in Egypt, through the Jordan, into the wilderness, through times of great miracles, but also great disappointments and rebellion, the highs and the lows. And finally, they're now at that border, ready to cross into the promised land. And Moses can only see it. And there is a background, and I'm not going to dwell too much on that, but basically God says to Moses, you're not going to be part of the next stage. That's where it ends for you. You will not lead the people into the promised land. You will not even be take part into that. Imagine how difficult that must have been for Moses. How difficult it is for us when we feel it's time to let go. And I think maybe Moses had the kind of same struggles that we have when there are those kind of transitions, and we feel that God is leading us in a certain way to let go. Maybe, I don't know, this is a bit more speculation, it's not part of scripture, but maybe he was talking to God, but I have the experience. I know these people, and they know me. I know their strength and their weakness. I'm hearing you. I know your will. I still got it. Maybe it's part of the bargaining. Surely, maybe if I can't do the main thing, surely I could be part of. I can advise Joshua. I can help him. I will give some kind of continuity. It would be better for the people. No, we don't know if that's some of the conversation that Moses had, but I'm sure he had some kind of conversation. He had to kind of take time to know and understand what it meant for him to stop there. And of course, there's some very good reasons sometimes where being part of is important, being part of that transition. I think one day I've shared, I think I have that picture again, of passing the baton. And sometimes there is a time of transition where we do that, to do that well. But sometimes the very thing that makes us valuable becomes the reason why we find it difficult to let go. There's something in us that says, well, actually, they really need me. I know how it works and how it should be done. Would be easier if I stay around. I haven't got all that experience yet. And other things can be true and it can be helpful to be around in the background. But there is a big difference between offering a backstage support and holding on to control. Never really giving the freedom to others to take things in a different way, in different direction, to let them be creative, to find their own design, making their own choices and decisions. And that happens in our family, it happens in the industry, it happens in the community, it happens, they are saying, in politics, and it happens in the church. Kind of passing the baton, being part of a helpful transition. The baton is entrusted to us for a reason, like in that triathlon. The reason, if you are in a group of three, is, well, you are good at swimming. Do that part the best you can, and then give it to the next who is best and good at maybe something quite different. The baton is entrusted to us for a reason, but it never belongs to us. And Moses' greatness is not diminished because Joshua takes over. In fact, one of Moses' final acts of leadership is to prepare Joshua, to bless him, and then to give him the authority. In the reality of the transition between Moses and Joshua, I don't think it needs to be that severe and obvious. Actually, Moses dies. But sometimes a physical separation is helpful. And in the life of the church, for example, if a vicar, it's not me, but if a vicar feels, you know, it's time maybe for me to move on and there is a transition and you have like an interregnum between the reigns. I hate this word. But sometimes, you know, a moving away allows to create the space for new things to happen. Joshua was not meant to be Moses 2.0. Joshua had to be Joshua. Moses led Israel out of Egypt. Joshua had now to lead them into that promised land. A new season, some new task required something new. The baton is passed, but the race continues. And so when we think of those different areas of life, and for me in particular, I'm in a place of transition with my own family. I have two children who's moving into university. I have one who's moving from primary school to secondary school. And I've been reflecting, because as a parents, we want the best for our children. And sometimes we have those motivations that are not healthy, and we want them to be a little bit like us, or sometimes to fulfill the dreams that we haven't been fulfilled. And I hope that with my children that hasn't been the case. And I hope they feel that as they move into their university years, they're doing what they're really passionate about and what they've skilled, even if it's something completely different than what I might have thought about. But it's so important. So important that we do that in our families, important that we have places of work that has that healthy kind of structure culture where people can flourish, important in our communities and in politics, but also important in our churches. Space to lead, space for others to experiment, to be creative, to make mistakes, to discover what God might do through them. Moses never entered the promised land, and he had to trust God with a future he would not be shaping, controlling, or even seeing. And if you go to Hebrew 11, that's much what happens. Lots of people who didn't see what was promised, I had to trust God for the next step with others. So now, having received the baton, Joshua has a task. And the task for him was to get up and go. And it felt quite enormous for him. Oh, it's very small there. Oh, there we go. He received the baton. He goes with that task. He needs to lead the people into that promised land, a land that was promised to his ancestor. And he received promises and encouragement. He has to occupy and distribute and establish a new community whose life is shaped by God's instruction, the God's law that was given through Moses. It's a task far bigger than Joshua could accomplish by himself or even with his aid. And is that not often the case when God calls us or guides us into something? He often takes us in a place that is beyond what we really can do. It requires faith and trust, dependence and creativity. So that was the task. But there was also for him and for us a promise. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The promise is not that it will be easy. God doesn't say, Joshua, don't worry, you'll find it manageable. He actually says, it's going to be quite difficult, Joshua, but you will never face it alone. The confidence of Joshua is therefore not ultimately confidence in Joshua, in himself and his abilities, although it's important to understand who we are and our gifts and our talents. But the ultimate confidence is in God's presence, in God's faithfulness, in God's character. The task will be accomplished not because Joshua is sufficiently gifted or experienced or strong, but because God is with him and he is investing in him a task to do through his power. God is at work through him. And the same call to go and the promise to be with us is given to us as the body of Christ, the church. Therefore, go and make disciples, apprentices of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow everything I have commanded you. And what was a promise? Surely, as you do, as that remains your priority, your prayers, your desire, I will be with you to the very end of age. Then there is the admonishment to be strong and courageous. We could ask ourselves, well, if God promises to be with him, and if the kind of the ultimate goal of his task is already assured, God says, you will enter the land and you will possess it because I am with you. Well, if that's the case, why do we need to be strong and courageous? The truth is that God's promise doesn't remove the need for human response. Three times we hear in that passage, be strong and courageous. Joshua still had to step forward, to go, to lead, to make decisions, to face opposition, to take risks. The promised land must still be entered. The battles must still be fought. Decisions must still be made. There's this wonderful tension throughout the scripture about God's sovereignty and our human action. We don't act because everything depends on us, but neither do we refuse to act because everything depends upon God. It's this great mystery. We are called into partnership with God himself. So be strong and courageous. That is our part. And then in this passage, it speaks something contextual. The law of Moses is very different for us as Christian. But the principle of creating a space where we live in step with God, where we reflect his desire, his will, his character. For him, God doesn't simply tell Joshua to be courageous and to get on with it. In his context, he had to remain faithful to God's instructions. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. His success was not measured in occupying the territory, but in creating a people, a society, living before God, in his presence, following his ways. And he was called to meditate on God's instruction day and night and to follow. Our doing is similar. Our doing must be the result of our being with Jesus, hearing from him, walking in step with his desire, with his plans, with his purposes. Jesus would later said to us, abide in me. The branches can't produce by themselves fruits. They do when they abide in the vine. When we abide in Jesus, when we remain connected to him. That's our Christian way. Jesus gives us guidance, he gives us his presence, he gives us his promises, and we respond by following obediently, by being faithful, by abiding, by staying attentive to his voice, to his change sometimes of direction. It often, when we do, take us into a journey that is far beyond what we'd have thought. For me, at the beginning of my Christian life, when I was 15 and I gave my life to God, if you had said, oh, you know, one day you'll end up in England, in a town called Taunton, speaking English to a congregation. No way! Actually, languages was my worst subject at school. So, far beyond what you can think or imagine. And it's not an easy journey, ups and downs. And I've been often unfaithful, but God has remained faithful. And so with Paul, I can say, now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to what? The power that is at work within us. And when we say within us, it's not just individual, but within his people. When together as a group we come, allowing him to guide us. To him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, that's us included, forever and ever. This is where faith becomes real, where we dare to believe, dare to obey, dare to trust and remain close to Jesus. And I thought maybe the best way to finish this talk, unpacking that passage, is to give you a series of questions for you to ponder, to think. There might be one that you feel God is doing something about. And so I'm just going to give those, and we're going to take it slowly. Maybe something is resonating with what God is doing at the moment in your life. Where does, and they're going to be personal or as a community, as a church or as a national church, where does my part end? And where does someone else begin? Thinking of that story of Moses and Joshua and the transition and some of them. Where does my part end? And where does someone else begin? Thinking of passing the baton or seeing people taking new initiative. Can I rejoice when someone else receives a baton and runs somewhere I would not have gone? And as a group of people, in our family, at work, or in our church, in our community, can we together make room for new people to run with the baton in ways that may look different from what we would have chosen? Can we give others genuine freedom to follow God rather than simply reproducing what we have done? where do we as church need to hear God saying, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid? Where am I sensing God leading into something bigger than my abilities? And where might God be calling us together into something that we cannot accomplish simply by our own strength? What do we need to put in place, change or let go of, so that our life together is increasingly grounded in God's intention and shaped by his ways? Maybe more personally, where do I need to hear again, I am with you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you have given us each gifts, abilities, and talents. Help me to discern the tasks and responsibilities that are mine to embrace, and to recognize the season in which you have placed me. I don't know what lies ahead, but today we offer ourselves to you again. Help us to trust you, to follow your way, to abide in you, and to live from your presence. Make us strong, make us courageous, keep us faithful to your plans and purposes. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.